not near, we're not at White Smoke yet, but nope, we're close.
Yeah. Warmed up to the car at all?
Not really. It's fine.
It's a Hemi, bro.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like muscle cars that weren't made in the 70s. You know?
Sure. Yeah. It was a good time for that sort of vehicle.
Yes.
I would not mind owning some sort of proper muscle car again. But I would not commute to work in it.
No, God no. I don't think I'd even want to drive it in the city, period.
Yeah.
My cloud bill, said no one ever.
I fucking hate this city. All the billboards.
The city just became the city of Watch Dogs 2, like, real fucking
fast. Yeah, like, Watch Dogs 2 is not a joke.
Yeah. The parody aspect is almost non-existent now.
That's a good point. I could go for a lower cloud bill.
I wonder if someone can automate my cloud optimization.
Maybe this fucking garbage-ass company that's advertising on this billboard could help you out.
Oh, Spotinst?
Sure. Really catchy name. It's all fucking cloud shit and weed.
Cloud I'm into, man.
Yeah. Blockchain bullshit gone, at least. I walked past a building last night that was like, I forget what their slogan was. It was like, blockchain without the blah, blah, blah. It was like, but it was their office.
Right.
So it was like their logo, and then below that it said,
I think I saw that same sign.
Yeah. It's like, blockchain, but for fucking 10x assholes.
Yeah. I mean, they'll just find some other fucking buzz term to build a company around for exactly 18 months.
Yeah. And some of this stuff, I'm, you know, Rex card. Like, okay, is it like a new credit? Like, pay by card, pay by ACH, pay by wire. Yes, the wrestler, yes. Pay $0 fees.
I feel like that name was probably chosen pre-Brexit, right? Because...
Brex Cash. Is that a cryptocurrency? That sounds like a cryptocurrency.
Are you going to excommunicate my money from
yes.
the European
Union? No, they're going to excommunicate it from your fucking pockets.
Oh. That money to live.
right. We became Viacom CBS employees today.
We did.
Yeah.
Congratulations to us.
In the middle of podcasting, we came out and it was like, oh, that right. That's, we're that now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, nothing's going to change with that anytime soon, I assume.
Not in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. That sort of stuff takes forever to be like, okay, now who are you? You're the head HR. Well, we already got a head HR.
Oh, no, we have two heads of HR.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really funny to be working for Viacom again, but also...
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
So, welcome back. You, me, and Sway. Is Sway still work for MTV? Probably
not. I have no idea.
He still has his satellite radio morning show.
I truly have no idea who works for MTV anymore. I don't know what MTV is right now.
God, I don't need... I have zero idea.
Since their last, like, big push toward reality television, I have no idea what they are actually making now.
Yeah. I know they have, like, streaming stations on Pluto.
Okay.
Yeah, and now, yes, now we... us and Garfield are now co-workers.
We are. But not Jim Davis.
Is he a contract guy?
I don't know how that deal went, but I believe he doesn't have ownership anymore.
I mean, they bought it from him.
Yeah. I mean, does he still make new Garfield stuff?
No, he has a team. There was like a Vice video where they went to Paws Inc. Okay. And looked at how Garfields were made. And it's a team.
Yeah, that makes
it
sense.
It did not seem to actually include Jim Davis, but...
I mean, I don't know that Jim Davis has a whole lot else to say through the voice of Garfield these days. But he sure does like cashing checks.
Maybe the checks just never showed up on Mondays, and that's why. That's gotta be. I want Garfield to run on Giant Bomb. I want the strips to run. I want that's the brand synergy I'm thinking of. Is I want to run those strips on the site.
Okay. They're not gonna let us do that. But
we can just embed them. Who's gonna stop us?
No, here's what
who's gonna notice?
You'd be amazed what lawyers notice. Yeah. Here's what we're gonna pitch. We're not going to run Garfield on Giant Bomb, but we are going to make Pipe Garfield the official mascot of Giant Bomb.
I like it.
Pipe Garfield will become our exclusive overview. All uses of Pipe Garfield will flow through us.
Uh-huh. It's like they'll own the Garfield, but we'll own the pipe.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the brand shepherds for Pipe Garfield.
Yeah.
I think this is the right move for us and for Pipe Garfield.
It's a great deal for Pipe Garfield.
Yeah.
Still doing the 1 minute radio things. Yes. Yeah, that's that stuff. I still do my... Oh, shit. What's today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
I gotta do one of those. Yes, I'm still doing a thing for CBS Radio. Or whatever it's called now. I think they sell it. Is there still a CBS... There's still a CBS Radio.
Yes, but I don't know if they're gonna start calling it Viacom CBS Radio.
Oh, well, sure, yeah.
But yes, I do believe that still exists.
One I did was about Stadia, I believe. I believe I said, it ain't so good.
Because it ain't so good. It ain't so good.
It ain't so good.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah. People seem unhappy with it, I believe. This was also a core message of the last one of those. They don't go up on the site anymore because I don't get them from the people. The guy who was editing them left, and now I send them, I record a thing and send it off to a pair of Gmail addresses. Mm-hmm. And I assume it ends up on the radio somewhere. They sure get mad if I don't turn it in on time, so I assume they care. But it's not produced in the building anymore, so... Okay. Like, I have tried to say, hey, can you just send me them when they're done? And that has not happened, so I don't know.
I mean, honestly, who has a radio to check?
Not me, man. Radio is set to only pick up number stations.
My radio is like in the cloud, man.
Cloud radio, that's smart. Yeah. Like, why own hardware when you can just have a radio, like there's a radio hooked up to a server rack somewhere.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to my Spotify playlist, I can plug in my phone.
You know, I think right now I'm good.
Yeah? Okay, you. All right. Okay. Yeah,
I think all tonight right. I need a little time away
yeah?
from
okay. well, all right.
the nice. Horrors of that, but thank you. Maybe tomorrow.
A lot of songs on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think tomorrow we can continue our exploration of that space, but, you know, I need a little time to digest what I heard in the first volley. Material to digest, you know?
Yeah. Do y'all ever get angry at having to devote brain power and airtime and general minutes, hours, days of your life to covering something like Stadia, which sounded like pie in the sky malarkey when it was announced and never actually became real at all? No, that's it's because it's different, right? I mean,
yeah.
Games fucking come out all the time.
For me, I don't like this thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like what this thing represents either. Like, the idea of continuing to strip away at the, you know, ownership of products, the ownership of games, in a sort of streaming service kind of way, is something that I'm very much not on board with. But I don't, that doesn't mean I don't think it's interesting or worth talking about, you know?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, if anything, like, some part of our job is to, you know, help people learn more about video games.
Yeah.
And the thing they need to learn is, like, hey, Stadia, not so good.
Yeah.
So,
be wary of companies like this kind of trying to shove their way into a marketplace before they're fucking ready to even be a part of this.
Yeah.
Google does not feel like they have done the studying.
It sure doesn't.
And for how many years they have been germinating this thing, that really is something else. It really does feel like someone at Google is just like, we need to have a games division, and then they spent years figuring out what that even meant. And then at some point it was like, alright, we can do streaming, and then they just did that. I don't think they know why they want to be in games. Like, the people that are specifically on Stadia, I'm sure do. But
right,
directionally,
but at a larger level. And directionally, it's probably like, well, we've got the infrastructure in place. It seems like something we could certainly do.
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to Amazon, you know? Like, Amazon's been kicking around these ideas of, like, what their presence in video games is for a long time.
Right.
And it hasn't really resulted in much.
Yeah.
companies are big enough that they just feel like they need to have branches in everything. But, you know, when it comes time to, like, produce a product or actually, like, establish yourselves, it just doesn't feel like they really understand what they're even in.
Yeah.
I don't think that's tenable.
No, no, it feels like a series of weird bets, and I'd be curious to look at, like, I wish I knew what the pitch and expectations and stuff were. Like, to get, like, Google brass to sign off on whatever amount of money it took to spin up that division and bring this thing to some form of market. Is it the sort of thing, like, where they're just like, well, this is a bet we think we can place. Is it, like, relatively low cost for them? Because all they had to do was make controllers. They already make the Chromecasts. They already have the infrastructure, cloud shit. They just need to bolster that with, you know, some different racks.
Yeah.
With GPUs or whatever. I just wonder what the investment actually looks like and how it's looked upon. I have to imagine internally it's looked upon as, like, is literally that fucking it's a marathon, not a sprint type shit. It's probably the thing they're telling each other to keep doing this day to day.
Right.
After the launch kind of sucks shit. But, like, what's the... What are the metrics? Or what do the metrics look like? And are they like, cool, yeah, you got it out there to this many people, you generated excitement, great. You know, because, like, it seems like they put their hooks into as many different parts of Google as they could.
Right.
With that service, or at least, you know, some of them. I'm sure they could get the tendrils in deeper, but, like, think about it in terms of, like, and it doesn't do it right now, but, like, that thing is supposed to be able to stream to YouTube very easily. And so... Now you've got more people uploading more videos to YouTube, and that's something we can monetize, and that's great for us, and more data we can, more importantly, more data we can collect.
Yeah.
And it's using the Google Cloud infrastructure, and that's great to have more people using that in some way, shape, or form, because it gets the word out about our hot cloud, you know, and maybe at some point they're like, we've integrated Google Music. And now, if you're a Google Music subscriber, you can listen to whatever you want while you play. You know, or some
all
shit.
19 Google Music subscribers.
Right, yes, you know, like all that shit, they can integrate, right? So, yeah. I wonder what Destiny will look like in 3 months, or 2 months, 2.5 months, or whatever. Like when the 3 month pro subscriptions that came with people's packages run out.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone playing that game anymore, or do they no longer have access to it because they have abandoned Stadia completely?
Right. To answer your original question, I don't think it's a waste of time. I don't think it's, you know...
Yeah.
It's a thing I don't cover, or whatever. Yeah, it's not a thing I don't necessarily want to have occupying any part of my brain or conversation space, but, you know, my intense skepticism of the whole thing is a conversation worth having, I think.
Yeah, and I'm interested in seeing what people think the future of video games look like. Even with right or wrong,
yeah,
like... I want to see that shit.
I remember when we did the E3 interview with Jack.
Yeah.
I had a couple people ask, like, why did you have him on? Because, you know, he had bad answers for things. Like, it did not feel like he had a great grasp of, like, what people were really going to ask about this thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, why dedicate space to this? Why promote it? And it's like, because this is happening. Like, the reason I wanted them on the couch is because I wanted them to be in a position where they have to answer these kinds of questions.
Yeah, and you know, like, we're not in the job of, like, making all this stuff look good or bad or whatever. Yeah. Like, we're just there to fucking have the conversation, so.
And I think the Stadia conversation was one that was absolutely, especially at that time, worth having. Because totally, they were finally getting out there with it, and, you know, there were things that needed to be known about.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, come out here and tell us your vision of the future of video games. Sit here and tell me, and let me ask some questions about the realities of how the internet is.
Yeah. Tell me what you think the data cap problem is versus what it actually is.
Yeah. And I don't think that the answers that they had, the answers they were giving anyone, not just us, I don't think that instilled confidence in people at all.
No.
And I think in the run-up to this thing, you just kept seeing people like, oh, shit, I canceled my Stadia pre-order. I forgot. I just remembered to do it. And, you know, you hear some rumblings that the numbers for that thing were not particularly good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that, you know, like, Google kind of is the stuff that they had to say spoke for itself.
Yeah.
Not just with us, but with everyone, yeah. You know?
Their messaging all along the way, I think, has painted a very clear picture of what they think they are.
Yeah.
And why they think they matter, even if that doesn't necessarily, like, line up with what everyone else thinks.
Right. But who knows, you know, like, there's all sorts of stuff they can do, and once they get to a point where that thing is available for two people for free,
yeah,
and all they have to do is buy games, maybe that becomes something that sways some people that don't own consoles or something. They're like, I was over at my friend's house playing NBA 2K, and I want to play it, but boy, I don't own anything that does that.
Right.
Oh, well, you have a phone, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll buy a controller, and then you can play it there. Oh, cool.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're dead in the water, you know? Like, I think there's a chance that they could pivot on this thing and make it something a lot more worthwhile than it is, but
I really think that they're gonna, like, run into a problem once Microsoft stuff is ready.
Yeah.
As long as it's good. But even if it's not, if it's something that works with an existing ecosystem of games that players, you know, there are already millions of people in that ecosystem.
Right.
You then have people going like, oh, well, you know, like people evangelize Game Pass today, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, like, the Xbox One did not sell especially, whatever, it did okay.
It caught up some.
It's not the leading console, you know?
Yeah. But right now, it is, like, the best hardware out there. If you have a 1X, you know, like, actually the best console hardware out there, unless you're playing Rock Band and have a lot of DLC.
Right. Then it's, like, great for, I mean, if you...
Did I tell you about this?
I feel like I've heard bits and pieces, but what is it? So, like...
So, they put out an OS update in early November.
Yep.
And whatever they're doing on the back end to do, when you do a fresh boot of the console,
mm-hmm,
where it's, like, you know, doing the check against all the different content things you have in there.
Yeah.
If you have passed a certain number of things on your hard drive, certain games, especially games that need to load the heaviest DLC folders and whatnot,
yeah,
take for fucking ever to load. And I'm talking, like, hour plus.
You know, when my machine took that update, the startup after the update was quite long.
Yeah.
And I don't have Rock Band installed, but I do have...
It's any game that
several
has...
Several hundred games installed.
As far as I can tell, it's any game that has, like, more than a few pieces of like, DLC that it's trying to load. That's where it starts falling apart. Because the other game seeing mentioned is Sims 4.
Okay.
And so I don't think there's enough Sims 4 DLC by itself to cause that problem.
Right.
But if you have a bunch of, like, say, Rock Band DLC in addition to something, a game like that has a bunch of different DLC packs to it, that game will also suffer for it.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of a mess. But they did just put out a, like, developer notes thing today on their most recent update, and they were like, known issue, Rock Band... XYZ. So they know about it, and it's the first time they've said anything publicly about it. So yeah. At some point, I assume they will fix it.
Yeah.
Whenever their next update is in fucking 4 months or whatever.
Right. But yeah, like, you know, came with downside. But, you know, like, eventually, you can envision scenarios where they're like, hey, when you buy a fucking Pixel phone, we're going to give you 3 months of Stadia Pro.
Right.
And get the controller for free. And use that as a way to get people into that system. And,
right.
And if people don't have an attachment, I think, you know, like the people that are, like, up in arms about it right now are people that already have invested in games on other platforms, right? Because most people who are not in that boat don't even know what the fuck a Stadia is.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're marketing it super heavily. But once they get into those sorts of scenarios where they're appealing to people that don't already own stuff, don't have friends lists.
Right.
And people they play games with that all need to be on the same platform and all that shit. Then it's like, oh, wait, I can play the Red Dead on my phone? Yeah. I heard of that. Let's get that.
The way Rockstar intended.
Yep. And then once they're through that window, then it's like, well, I own these games. I might as well get a Chromecast so I can play them on a TV. Or, oh, wait, I can play them on my web browser at work.
Right.
And I get fired from my job. For burning through a data cap. But I don't know. But I think for existing players like that, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You're
right.
Buying games, you're hoping that other people who play games with you also buy this thing and get invested in this ecosystem. And that doesn't make sense. The idea of having choice about how you play the games and bringing games you already own and putting them onto a streaming service just holds more immediate appeal.
Yeah.
Long term, 5 years down the line, maybe it doesn't matter because they both have found some install bases.
Or 5 years down the line, it doesn't matter because Google has already given
back
up.
Out. They're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And maybe Amazon is come and gone too or something. But, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. The scenario of I can take the games I'm already playing on the road with me, I think holds appeal. Like,
right.
If you're a business traveler, you're like, fuck it, I can play games in my hotel room. But the problem there is, if you're doing that on Stadia, you also have to play those same versions at home.
Right.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
Whereas with, you know, presumably when the Xbox shit gets out there, then you're like, well, I can play the stuff on an Xbox or a PC.
Right.
Or I can stream it, but also I can play it at home on my Xbox, and then when I'm on the road, I can play it on my phone. Or hook up to the hotel room TV and play it there.
Yeah.
And I think those are just, like, more interesting scenarios, or more likely scenarios for the people that already play games today.
You know what I like?
What?
Having a box, what I can just buy games for, and then just buy the games for that box, and then I can just play them on that box.
Fuck you, old man.
Yeah, it's fine. I get it. I'm a boomer. I get it, man. That's fine. I'm at peace with that.
You know, when you think about, like, the number of people playing Fortnite on a phone, and how willing they are to accept compromised experiences.
I refuse to make that compromise by just not ever playing Fortnite.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
That's the stand I'm taking.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, you've got a generation of kids being raised playing games on phones anyway.
Yeah.
So...
recent birthday and all of that, but I feel like I'm coming to peace with the idea of being one of the old men of video games now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look, I'm way closer to 40 than I am 30 at this point.
Uh-huh.
And let's be real, there aren't a whole lot of people in our industry, especially on the media side, our age, that have been doing it this long, that are left.
It's true. Most people have smartened up long before now.
Yeah, way smarter than us.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just, like, okay with it. Like, yeah, I am an old man with an old perspective, and that's all right.
You know, I think there's, well, I mean, of course I would think this, but I think there's value in that.
Yeah. As long as you're willing to engage with the new on its own terms, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I am roughly as old as video games.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is a pretty okay place to be in. As I was there for a lot of it.
Yeah.
I think that's why I think it's just, like, so fascinating that there are, and I think it's similar to the stuff, like, we're talking about with music.
Mm-hmm.
Where now that everyone is using streaming services, all songs are available at all times. And so it's possible for, like, way young people to enjoy incredibly old music just on its own merits.
Yeah.
And discover things that are not necessarily, like, just top 10, whatever, whatever.
Or just the music that was around in their house
when they were growing up. Yeah, you know? Or, like, hey, we had to listen to the radio and they only played the top 10 hits. So, I love this shit. I think that's fucking fascinating.
It is.
Like it's, and it's, like, culturally beneficial that you've got people that are able to, like, in their, you know, 20s and teens and stuff, that are just able to have wildly varying tastes in music.
Yep.
I think games are kind of there too. Like, the number of people, like, you know, it's gonna happen if it hasn't already happened, but, like, we're gonna reach a point where the number of people who have only played SNES games on a PC or a phone and have never played it on real hardware are gonna outnumber the people that ever played it on real hardware.
Yep. That's not that far off.
No, that can't be that far off. And, like, it's able, you know, people are able to, like, if they're into it, and also, you know, like, resourceful children have no fucking problem just going, like, oh, yeah, I downloaded every fucking Super Nintendo game and then spent a summer playing them because real games are expensive.
Right.
Like, I you know, you have a lot of kids getting exposed to older games in that way, too. And I think that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Not that I think every game, like, you know, like, I think a lot of games fucking age out and who cares.
Right.
You know, it's like, I think you have some people that are just like, well, if you haven't played Doom, then what are you doing? It's like, no, fuck you. Fuck you, old man. You don't need to have played Doom to have a respect for that genre.
Games are different in that sense.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, they take up so much more of your time and your attention, and there are so many games, and they were expensive for long, long periods of time. They still are in a lot of ways. And so it's just like, you can't expect people to have broad spectrum understanding and knowledge of everything the way you can for, like, certain other mediums where it's a lot easier and a lot more accessible to get at some of that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the technology advances in music, like, what is that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, recording technology or something, or hey, it's a lot easier for people to record in their bedroom and have it sound, like, fairly professional.
I mean, it's similar to the, you know, the way that, like, game development tools have democratized. Like,
exactly,
it's a lot more available, it's a lot more affordable for someone. You know, it's still risky, but at the same time, like, that risk has been mitigated to such a degree that you don't have to rely on middlemen to fund the thing that you're making.
that you want to make.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked record labels still fucking exist. And it feels like
it's a shame that they do in some way. That hasn't been completely broken.
Yeah. And it's gotten pretty close a few times. And, you know, I think the fact that labels still exist is why there hasn't been more direct pushback on the shitty royalty rates that artists get for streaming.
Yeah.
You know, because if it was only artists advocating for artists and management of artists, you know, it would be a much different scenario than the labels who can just be like, well, we're getting enough money.
Right.
That's fine. What does it matter?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're much longer away from game publishers not needing to exist versus record labels, but, you know, I have that same similar, like, Lyle the Hudson imagining a world without lawyers kind of vision of just, like, what if you just didn't need these companies? What if you just could do this shit on your own entirely, and that was a system that worked?
Right.
Be a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet, and probably won't be for a while.
No, I think, it gets hard to fund big-budget games without a company or a person stepping in to mitigate that risk.
Yeah.
And pay that team for the 2 years it's taking for the game to be, like that sort of stuff.
Recording an album does not require the amount of time, effort, and money that recording or making a game or producing a movie or something like that
does. Right, yeah. Being a professional musician these days, like a working musician, seems like it would be...
It's real hard to make a living at that right now.
Right, yeah. Well, at some point it just became like, okay, you're going to make your money on tour. But, like, if you're not a headline national act, like, can you still really do that?
You can make enough to survive.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, merch sales... You know, ticket sales, like, guarantees, like, stuff. Like, yeah, it's enough, but it's not gonna, like, put you over the top in any meaningful way. Like, you're gonna be able to pay your rent.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to think what it was that people... It's like, if you can get 10,000 fans of a thing together, that's, like, kind of enough, generally speaking, for music or, you know, like a lot of different things. Like, if you can... get 10,000 people to agree to pay for a thing,
that helps.
You will be okay, or you generally, you know. I'm sure if you're trying to make some huge budget movie, that's not enough, but
yeah.
But that idea of just like, okay, that'll be enough people to be like, okay, we're gonna tour and then try to do meet and greet packages because there'll be people who want to do that,
right?
And people, there are enough people to want to support it to keep going. Stuff on the internet that makes that a little dicey, like content creation wise. That's just such a weird scene. Because, like, instead of being beholden to a record label or something, it becomes like, well, and music would probably be like this if it wasn't for record labels, but it would be like, okay, now I am kind of at the mercy of this platform holder,
right?
And their rules and whatever rule changes they go through that might completely devastate my business or whatever. Like all the fucking people on YouTube.
God.
That occasionally get like
you know, just left twisting in the wind by some obscure change.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, we want to present this notion that, like, you know, the current era of technology has allowed people to do things extremely on their own.
Right.
In the end, there are still platforms. You know, you are making this shit for YouTube or Instagram or fucking TikTok or whatever the hell those things are. And you're at their mercy no matter what. Unless you want to do video hosting yourself.
Right.
You're ultimately at their, you know, you serve at their pleasure, and what they, you know, whatever they decide to do, you're kind of stuck with it.
Right. And then it's not enough for you to serve your own videos, then it's like, okay, well, if you're relying on YouTube ad revenue, are you going to be able to monetize the videos on your own platform?
Yeah.
Like,
what's the alternative? Sell ads yourself?
Right. Are you going to, the amount of tech you have to build yourself, and then at that point, you're probably still going like, well, we use Google AdWords.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that to put these pre-rolls on here or whatever. We just go off to the auction house and get our CPMs and all that shit. It's rickety at best. I mean, even like Patreon, last time I looked, didn't seem to have a solution for videos. Like, they only relatively recently added podcast hosting.
Right.
And yeah, you've seen that. And even that's not an amazing user experience.
Like, yeah. And you've seen, like, I've seen multiple waves of complaints over the last couple of years of, like, Patreon making some change or something happening.
Right, like, who pays
up all their payments.
Yeah. And you have people on Patreon that have been grandfathered into the old rules, while newer people on there might suddenly be getting fucked.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't let pornographic content on there.
Oh, yeah, they do. Depends on your definition of porn.
Okay.
Pornography. Discoverability, how are people going to even find your shit?
Right.
And I was like, we're on YouTube, and I've spent more time over the last year making changes to our YouTube shit to, you know, to have that be a little more meaningful or something. But at the end of the day, the way we've built our shit is we're on a bunch of different platforms, including our own, and our own is our main platform.
Right.
So you could probably make the argument that if we were all in on YouTube, well, I don't know if you can make the argument, but you could probably build a case to say, is this worth the risk? I'd get pretty close to, like, if we were just all in on YouTube, so our videos were only there.
Mm-hmm. How do we do the paywall in that case?
Well, though? Okay, let's say just for free stuff. Like, you know, the paywall for now. They do have a solution for that. You would get higher numbers on YouTube than we get now.
Right.
Because we're split across, you know, it's like you can fucking sideload a Roku app or watch stuff that way, or, you know, like all those different ways we let people view the videos. If we funneled all of that to YouTube, that would be a bigger number, which then has more of a chance of getting picked up by the YouTube algorithm, mm-hmm. which then means more people might see it, and there might be some kind of snowball effect.
Right.
That then leads to more people discovering our stuff and that sort of stuff. And so then you start to wonder, like, okay, well, would that lead to more money? Would that lead to a bigger business that then we can grow and add more people on or some shit like that? I don't necessarily think so.
Right. Is it worth the trade-off?
But it's funny, because, you know, I occasionally see people who are like, I don't understand how they're not bigger on YouTube. It's like, well, for a lot of years, we just uploaded a video there and let it die.
Right.
And never touched it, because who has the time? And now we've expanded to such a point where we kind of have the time to poke at it here and there. And sure enough, just poking at it occasionally, it makes it do a little better. But also, most of our traffic is on the site or other platforms, you know, like... a set-top box or whatever. But then also you're at the fucking whim of YouTube ad guidelines and all that other stuff, and we get a pretty good shield over us by being part of a incredibly large and getting larger by the day company. But there are a lot of smaller outfits out there that don't have that, so they just get fucked. It's a weird world. It only got weirder.
Oh yeah.
Exclusively to Vimeo. Hear me out.
We're gonna do everything on Daily Motion.
Yeah. But God, like, you know, and honestly, like, if we were to, and you know, we're not going to do this. But shit, man, if we only had to upload shit to YouTube, our workflow would be so much fucking easier.
Yeah.
Just in terms of publishing videos, like the stuff it all has to go through now to distribute to all the different platforms and all the different renders and all that other stuff that has to happen.
Yeah.
God.
But at what cost?
Right, yeah, exactly. Then it's like, okay, now we've got some fucking YouTube-shaped axe over our head or something, and that's no good. They usually happen while we're doing Game of the Year stuff, and so I've never had time to watch them.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know if I'll have time to watch it anyway. But.
I just have no feelings about them anymore. The only feelings I have are, boy, you really didn't think through the optics of Subway Eat Fresh indie game fucking category. You still don't seem to really know what the Games for Change or Games for Impact thing actually means.
I could do without the esports awards and stuff too. I think some of that stuff is just a little weird. year.
Are they still doing fucking, like, Gamer of the Year shit?
Or... Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, it's just, like, I can feel, like, award shows are bullshit, it's fine, whatever. But, like, when I can really see the traffic and SEO plays in the categories themselves...
Right.
That's when I'm just like, that's when I recoil. And I'm like, you're just not doing any of this for the right reason. And I understand it's an expensive show and you need, you know, sponsors to produce it and all of
right.
that.
Yeah.
But I think, this is how it's always been. And no matter how many times I've tried to refine it, it's more or less still been this, is that inevitably the sponsorships are the only reason the show exists. You are not doing this because you... Like, I'm sure Jeff has told himself that he cares about, you know, awarding these games and being the fucking Oscars for video games or whatever the hell it is. But that's just very nakedly not what the show is or will ever be under these kinds of auspices, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I like Jeff, and I think he really does care about that stuff, about video games.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't care about games.
Yeah,
but the
realities of putting on an award show, I think have led it to be like a weird thing to the point where we're part of the awards of that thing, but like I'm only interested in looking at what games got announced, and not even necessarily in real time. That's just something that's a list I can read later. Go okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they got that. Okay. Okay. All right. Good to know that's already out there. Okay. Great.
It's like, I don't know. I don't care about Jeff's mini E3 in December. Like, it's fine. I'll see the announcements afterward. Like, I don't need to watch it in real time. I don't need to engage with that show as it is happening because it is offering me nothing that I actually want.
I get it. Yeah. I like the idea of multiple publications coming together and having a say in some of that stuff. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, sure. The Golden Globes does that.
Yeah, right.
That is also a show that is very nakedly about getting the most famous people together possible just so people will watch it.
Yeah.
I don't even have, like, beef with most of the nominees for those things. Like, I don't think they're making, like, terrible choices, you know, for a lot of those categories. Especially considering the audience they're trying to cater to. I don't know. Like, just the machinery of it is just too obvious to me. And that kind of just sucks all the... whatever interest I would have in it out.
Sure. Is out.
Oh, cool.
It's December 5th somewhere.
It's the one that got the Zelda thing in it, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I would not mind looking at that. I just don't know when I'll have time to...
Yeah.
Switch. People seem surprised that there's no PlayStation Experience this year, considering they have a new console next year. But like, no, they don't. They're not ready to focus on PS5 stuff.
Oh no.
At all. They still want people to buy a PS4. So doing that this year is the wrong time. You know, maybe they have. The last time they did like a February event or January February event when they first started talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Announced a couple of games. And then showed the box off way later. Mm-hmm. So Switch apparently crushing Black Friday. I don't know. They got a Pokemon game out. People like those.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole plan, to get the Switch Lite out, get Pokemon out, and try to get more young people using Switches, because their demo was a lot higher than you might think.
Yeah, and, you know, you compare against the numbers of people that own 3DSs, like, the Switch has not come near anywhere near that yet. It has done very well in its opening years, but there is still, like, a lot of ground for them to cover. So I'm not surprised. You know, like, they're making good, aggressive pushes, and I feel like they've mostly had the games to support that.
Yeah, like even when the games weren't great, like, they at least had a game in place. They're like, oh, okay, they're trying, so this is what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And especially in a year when anyone who is informed knows that there are new consoles coming from Microsoft and Sony next year. So, if someone is looking to buy hardware in calendar 2019, I'm trying to think what other platform I would actually recommend to them.
Right.
Other than a Switch. Because the Switch is going to continue to be the Switch for a while.
Yeah. I almost wonder if that discless Xbox One makes sense for some people. It's pretty fucking cheap.
Yeah. I just don't think
and
the
Game
Xbox
Pass
One
is, you know, is Game Pass. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to recommend an Xbox One in this day and age.
Yeah.
And it has been. Well, you know, the Xbox One X is fine, but
yeah.
Like a base model Xbox One.
Yeah.
But, like, it's at a price now where all those people who don't play a lot of games, the people that might be enticed to check out a Stadia, like, maybe you get that thing instead and Game Pass and you're maybe set. But, I don't know.
I hope some of those people, in buying their Switches and their Pokemons, also tried out Luigi's Mansion, because that game's good as hell.
Continue to be indifferent about Luigi's Mansion, as I have been since the GameCube days.
I get it, man. You're a hater.
Right. Exactly. And I hate Luigi.
What did he ever do to you?
He gave me a dirty look driving by.
He doesn't have the confidence for that, man.
Yeah.
He was probably terrified of you.
Yeah. I think the more interesting Switch story becomes what happens when developers have fully moved on to PlayStation 5 and Scarlet.
Right.
And those Switch ports get even harder to source.
They've still got aggressive indie outreach, which I think does help. You know, those are the
indie
games
devs
that
want
can
to be there also. You know,
yeah.
Like the developers like the Switch and like supporting it, so, like, that stuff makes a ton of sense. But
yeah. But yeah, those major console ports are already straining.
The job of lining up third-party support for the Switch is only going to get harder.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be, like, apocalyptic or anything like that, but it's, like, it's going to force developers to look at the bottom line a lot more.
Yeah.
And not just automatically knock out a Switch port and go, like, ah, well, this will probably do okay. Hopefully it'll at least break even. You know, like, they're going to have to, like, look at it and go, like, okay, is this actually...
This is worth it.
Yeah. Switch keeps putting up solid numbers on the hardware front, keeps growing and growing and growing, then they're not going to have a problem.
Yeah.
That should, but... also release the Switch Pro when the Switch keeps selling like this. The Switch Pro talk was so loose and weird and non-specific about what that would actually be that I just don't know that it exists in any meaningful form.
Yeah, I saw some people, like, wildly speculating, like, around when Link's Awakening came out, like, especially around the tech issues that game was having. Like,
right.
Like, man, was that supposed to come out alongside, like, a more powerful version of the Switch or something, and they just had to pull back at the last minute? Like, what was it? I don't know that I necessarily lend too much credence to that.
Well, like, the Nikkei, you know, like reports out of Japan when they were, before they had announced the Switch Lite, were like, hey, there are two of them. There's a Switch Pro and a Switch Lite. And so that just stirred all that up.
So I wonder if...
But then, like, also they released an updated version of the baseline Switch that was, like, technically a little better battery life.
Yeah, it was just the battery stuff, mostly.
And plugged that... It plugged the glaring security hole they had.
Right.
Sounds like they might not have actually solved that problem either, but...
I don't know. I mean, it could have just been a simple thing of, like... Hey, we were going to do this, but, you know, component sourcing became a problem, so we just weren't ready for it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know where that ended up, but you sure haven't heard anyone talk about that thing with any authority in some time.
No.
Fit.
Me too.
But I'd have to move my Switch out to the living room, and I just don't know that I have time right now with everything that's going on to actually use it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm probably going to check it out, like, early next year sometime.
Yeah.
Because it does seem cool. I'm glad that they're finally starting to make good on some of their fucking wild ideas about fitness and gaming and whatnot.
Another game that supports that ring?
I don't know. If this one sells super well, maybe. Or they just come up with some other fucking wild piece of exercise plastic down the road.
It's just like, hey, we put out a new Star Fox and you can use the ring to control it. You know, just
okay.
Weird shit like that.
Can't be any worse than the last time you tried to make a Star Fox.
Switch 2 with ring support. God, no.
Look, they didn't hit every fucking ball right out of the gate. Some things are best just left in the past. One, two, switch is one such thing.
Yeah. Update Burger Time Party with ring support. Squeeze it in more ketchup. I don't know. Squeeze it like a ketchup bottle.
Workshop this.
Okay.
I think there's something to it.
All right. And with that, we're going to go.
Yeah.
Everyone have a good night.
See y'all later.
See ya.